Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the week. It's Doggy Pod time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Doggy Pod.
I'm producer Stephen Peters.
And I'm Dr. Rob Zammit. And in this week's episode, I'll tell you the best way to toilet train your new puppy.
We'll also go through the best type of bed for your breed of dog. Could your dog be getting a better night's sleep? Or to be honest, do they even care? Are they more happy just sleeping on the floor?
Also, what to do to help keep your dog from getting lonely when you're away from the house? Or do they even care? Can dogs actually get lonely?
Yeah, can they? Mm. And in Dr. Rob's top five this week, the controversial Dr. Rob Zammit top five, this week he's going to tell us his top five best breeds for kids to have a good family dog. What are the top five breeds and where does your dog stand? But before we get going, how busy have you been this week, Rob? Busy as always, I'm guessing. But what are some of the highlights at the front line of the vet world?
Well, yeah, look, I do get crazy busy in my clinic and I love it because I get to help dogs and people. But I had a funny one this week, which I want to share with you.
Please.
Some people came in because of COVID. A lot of people who have maybe a pair of dogs would like to breed them. And these people have been trying for some time, they said, with their dogs.
But they weren't breeders. They just wanted to breed
their
dogs.
They just wanted to breed their female dog to their male dog. Registered, they'd gone through everything, they'd trained about it. Funnily enough, they mustn't have gone through quite the correct training, because I had to go through the history of why their dogs are not falling pregnant, why the female's not falling pregnant with a male. And we went through the cycles and how often she cycles, all the usual things I do. Finally, I got to the question of, well, how long do they tie for? What does that mean? In dogs, when they mate, when dogs are mating to produce little babies, the male penetrates into the female. The female clamps down literally around the dog's penis and the penis swells. There's a special part called the bulb and they lock together.
Can we just send all the kiddies home for a moment, please?
Well, you're going to have to talk about the birds and the bees sooner or later.
Or the dogs, yeah.
That's it. So they lock together and they stay locked together. The male dog can turn right round, so they can literally be one head one way and one head the other way. I guess there's no kissing in those sort of circumstances.
But they're locked together.
They're locked together. Wow. And they can stay like that for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, over an hour.
What?
Locked, yes. That's what happens. That's when you know your dogs have mates.
Oh, my God, I've learned something, there as one go. Always does.
So anyway, I said to them, how long did your dogs tie for? And they said, sorry? I said, yeah. And I explained to them what I just explained to the audience about dogs tying. They said, oh, no, we don't watch that. And I said, well, how do you know your dog's mated? And they said, well, we do know. I said, how do you know? They said, because early in the cycle, the female is sitting on the dog bed and the male is sitting on the ground when they come home. And then later on in the cycle, when it's time to mate, they're both sitting on the bed together. I said to them, are they sitting back having a cigarette?
Having a cigarette and a quiet scotch.
If you're going to breed dogs, it really is important to understand, I guess what I'm trying to get at, it's not just a matter of just putting them together and putting them in the backyard and hope they make puppies and leaving the bitch to it. There's a lot of work in producing sound, healthy puppies.
So they didn't even know that they had made it. They were just assuming they had.
Well, they had. They realised they made it because they're both on the bed together. So what do you do on the bed together? You either sleep or you read a book.
Just roll over.
Yeah, watch TV. they assume that because they're on the bed together, they must have mated.
Done the deed.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to say to people, if you decide that you really want to get into breeding dogs, sure, you can just put them together and maybe they'll have puppies under the house. But it's not good for the puppies. It's not good for your bitch. It's not good for anything. If you're going to do it properly. Become a registered breeder. Learn about what it takes to breeding healthy puppies because it's more than just a male and a female together of the same breed. You have to do all sorts of tests beforehand for both the male and the female to make sure that they are healthy genetically as much as physically as well. You know, you want to get the best, most healthiest pups you can because you want these puppies to be in forever homes, not causing problems to the people that buy them, you know, hip dysplasia, elbow dysplasia, liver shunts, heart problems, all sorts of things puppies can get if you do not do it properly. So the lesson for those people and for everyone, if you're going to breed dogs, make sure you put the parents through proper testing before you do it. Talk to a veterinarian that knows about these things, about how to go about breeding dogs properly.
Of course, sometimes a nice candlelit meal, maybe a movie, some nice red, and some music will obviously help.
Oh, it helps me, but I'm not sure about the dog.
So what happened to that particular, those dogs? Did they end up breeding?
Well, they will.
It's a work in progress.
The first thing we did was I asked, have you had them tested for hip problems because they're a bigger breed? No, so we're doing the schedule for that. They'll have DNA tests done for various diseases for that breed. They've gone to an eye specialist to check the eyes to make sure both of them don't carry hereditary diseases for their eyes. And we're going through it and doing it properly for the people.
Because it can go very wrong.
Oh, yeah, it really does. And who suffers when it goes wrong? The animals.
And you, the vets as well. We
see all the horrible things. And it's tough being a vet. It is tough, I'll tell you that now.
Okay, our quiz question this week is, and this is weird, how many dogs do you think there are in the world? A lot, I would think. Is it A, 200 million, B, 500 million, C, 1 billion, or D, 50 million? And then a couple of them are barking outside. You can probably hear them right now. So 200 million, 500 million, 1 billion or 50 million?
They're giving the answer and they're saying, yeah, you can be close. It could be approximately because it mightn't be quite there in the A, B, C or D.
We'll give you a sort of a couple of 100,000 leeway.
No, we'll give you 100 million either way.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we'll tell you a little bit later in the show. Okay, here we go. Now, imagine that for some of you, this could be happening right now, I guess. You've just arrived home with your brand new puppy, or it could even be an older rescue dog, but it's a new dog to your home. And of course, there's going to be accidents, so be prepared. But what are the best tips to get your new dog started on toilet training around your home, around its new environment?
Yep. Now, the first thing you've got to know is, when would your dog want to go to the toilet? Sounds weird, but yeah, most likely when you first get out of bed, you think, oh, time to go to the loo. Same with your dog. You know, when it's had a rest and it gets up, a new puppy, that's when it's going to want to do a twinkle. So take it out on the grass.
I love that vet talk. Twinkle.
Twinkle. Yeah. Yes, okay. And I tell people, teach your dog to go to the toilet on command. So if it's out on the grass and you see it going to the toilet, yeah, that's when you use whatever command. I always say be quick, whatever word you want to use. Yeah, you can say toilet, you can say do puddles, whatever, but be consistent.
So don't just ignore it.
No.
Right.
So while it's going to the toilet, you say, be quick, good dog, be quick, good dog. Now, what is the dog hearing? It's saying blah, 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 blah. That's all it hears at this stage. But you still do it. Be quick. Whenever you see a dog going to the toilet in the correct position.
Yeah.
It takes patience, it takes tolerance, and it takes time. After a meal, the dog will want to go to the toilet. Out on the grass, you go with it. Be quick as it goes to the toilet. Don't just start saying it. Wait till it goes to the toilet and good dog. Always, yeah, be quick, good dog. While the dog's eating, you should be saying, good dog, good dog. The dog starts associating the words good dog with a pleasant feeling of eating. So all of a sudden, the words good dog start meaning something. Be quick, after a while, means, oh, I want to go to the toilet. You know, Pavlov, a scientist back in the previous century, did it with dogs with salivation.
Mm.
He sat the dogs down, produced a meal and rang bells. After a while, you just rang the bells and the dogs salivated. Same deal. If you say, be quick all the time while the dog's going to the toilet and good dog, the dog feels, yep, this is a good thing, and be quick, oh, yeah, yeah, I do want to go now. It induces them wanting to go to the toilet. Police dogs do it all the time. They go to the toilet on command because you don't want a police dog going into a building search and halfway through saying, oops, yeah, I got to go, boss. Yeah, they will make them go to the toilet before they go into the building to do a search. Before they go out to work, they get them to go to the toilet, off we go to do our work. And you can do the same with your dog.
I mean, it's a good skill to have if you're having a barbecue and a whole bunch of friends around in the backyard.
Yeah.
You don't want your dog just leaving a little message right in front of everybody during lunchtime or whatever.
No, let's do it before everyone arrives.
Yeah.
It sounds weird, but it's true. The other thing you do inside the house, if the dog finds a particular spot that it always wants to go to the toilet, which does happen sometimes, I will put a towel there with citronella oil on it or some sort of mint spray on it, and the dog will think, oh, that stinks, and they at least stop going in that area. When I do clean up messes from little puppies, not so much at the start, but after a week or two, I'll, who's made this mess? I grumble about it. People say, oh, you got to catch it in the act. Baloney. I just grumble about this mess.
So you don't, so that's a bit of a myth.
Yeah, I just go, oh, who's made this mess? And I pick them up, take them straight outside on the grass and say, good dog. Finish every training exercise with good dog. Make them do the right thing, even if they're not going to the toilet, just put them out on the grass. Other little trick you can do is mop up the, if it's a wee, mop it up with a bit of paper, take the paper towel and put it on the grass, and then put the dog out there on the grass and say, good dog, so the smell's out there, that's where I want you to wee, good dog. Yeah, be quick, good dog, be quick, and the smell is out there. They pick it up very, very fast, they really do. Dogs will learn to toilet train extremely fast, even if it's an older dog that you haven't had inside the house.
That's what I was going to ask. So maybe it's a rescue dog, set in its ways, maybe 5 or 6, 7 or 8 years old.
All of these
still work?
You do the same thing. You've got to be patient. There'll be accidents.
Mm.
It's the meaning of life. But, accidents occur. But keep them out there and teach them. If you just lock the dog out all the time, what's the point of that? Why have a dog if it's locked outside all the time to avoid every little accident, every little problem that can occur? Yeah, the dog doesn't lock you out of his yard because you cause problems out there all the time. Gosh, no, so don't lock your dog out from the house. Open the back door, let the dog in, and train the dog as far as those sort of things are concerned. They're very easily trained to do that.
Another thing, of course, people have for their dogs is a doggy bed. But do you actually need a doggy bed? Dogs kind of will sleep anywhere. Do they really care, or can certain dog beds actually be beneficial to your dog?
They certainly can be beneficial, especially really big dogs. It's beneficial because of their elbows. The elbows have very little flesh on them, and if they're resting on hard surfaces all the time, they can become very calloused, they can become inflamed, or they can develop what's called a hygroma, which is a big fluid-filled pouch on the elbow, which then needs major surgery to fix. So a soft bed can help a big dog overcome those sort of things. Actually, trampoline beds, the beds are off the ground, they're ideal for that sort of big dog and to take the pressure off. On a cold winter's night, there's nothing worse than being on a cold surface. So if you're off the ground, that helps. Whether you're a big dog or a little dog, it doesn't matter. They enjoy going onto that sort of bed. And then just nice big soft beds sometimes for dogs in warmer weather, but cool enough bed that they can just feel soft in. I have three dogs that sleep in the bedroom with me, and we have three beds. Only two of them are ever used. One dog likes to sleep on the cold floor in the bathroom area, the ensuite area.
Really, chooses to sleep on the cold floor.
Prefers that. And he can sleep where he likes. About 5 o'clock every morning, he chooses to jump on my head. He literally jumps on my bed and wakes me up and says, "Oh, hi, Dad. Yeah. I go to the bathroom.
What's happening? What's going on?
And then after I go to the bathroom, he makes me get up to go to the bathroom, and I open the door, and he just looks out the door. Yep, that's nice. Shut the door again. I go to sleep. He goes to sleep again for a little bit longer. Funniest little behaviour he has. But he doesn't particularly want to stay on my bed, doesn't sleep on his bed that I've bought for him. Yeah, it's just an added expense that one day he might. When he gets older and he's only a couple of years old.
Is he an old English?
He is. I have three dogs there and in the bedroom. And, as I said, the old English loves the cool area. The other old English does. He prefers the bed. He prefers a softer bed. And the other one just sometimes on the bed, sometimes off the bed. They vary a lot. Each dog varies a lot. The thing about buying a bed, make sure that you can wash it. Make sure that you can wash it thoroughly. If nothing else, you want to wash it. If ever you have fleas, the eggs will, one female flea lays 50 eggs a day. In no time, you'll have a infestation of fleas if you don't get rid of them. And one of the things you've got to do is get rid of the eggs and the larvae in the environment. So you've got to wash all the bedding. I like to wash the bedding anyway for bacteria as well. So make sure it's a bed that you can clean and keep clean, vacuum and
gee, I bet a lot of people don't do that, you know.
No, they forget about, they'll wash their own sheets and their own bedding, but they forget about their poor dog. The dog likes to have clean sheets too. Goodness me.
So generally you would say it is a good idea to have some sort of bedding for your dog. Give them the option.
Absolutely, and especially in wintertime, to get them off the cold surface, the cold floor if they're inside, or the cold ground. If they're outside, they should be able to go into a warmer area that's off the ground.
Now, hopefully we're close to seeing the last of this horrible COVID-19. And, of course, more and more people are going back to the office and not working at home as much, which I think, dogs around the country and around the world are probably loving having their owners at home more often. But, they're going back to the office. Does your dog get lonely at home? Hours and hours on end, can't use the remote control to watch Netflix or anything like that. Do they actually get lonely? Do they need that stimulation, or are they just happy sleeping for 7 or 8 hours a day?
They're happy enough to be home. They're happy enough to have the job of guarding the home. But they're going to miss things, and they do start barking and making their own industry if you don't give them something to do.
But so what can you give a dog to do when you're away from the house?
Quite a lot. There are toys that you can put raw bones in, and they can fiddle with those for some time and chew them away and play with the toy. I have clients that build mazes out in the backyard for their dogs, so the dog can just, it's a different environment because go through here, just wander around through a maze. I have one client that has quite a big area, and he's built mazes with bushes. Fortunately, the dog's not allergic to the bushes because that always worries me. But it's a nice little environment for the dog.
But would the dog choose to go wandering around?
Not a lot. But if it's feeling a bit, I think I'll just go out and do that. Off they go. They prefer to just be there and guard the place. They enjoy doing that. Hopefully you've given them lots of exercise. Take them out for that early morning walk and a brisk walk. It's not a Sunday stroll, folks. Get out there and push yourself a little bit.
Is that the best time to take your dog for a walk in the morning?
Well, a dog is used to hunting early in the morning and at sunset. And so that's the best time to exercise your dogs. It's a more natural time for the dog to be out there with you. When they go for a walk, they're out on the hunt with you. And like Mother Nature, not every hunt is successful. Most hunts aren't. They come home, but they love it when you're successful and come home with the food. Oh, you've been out and succeeded. Good on you. But, so it's important to give the dog that sort of stimulation. Give your dog 5 minutes of obedience training in the morning. 5 minutes. Not a lot of your time, but 5 minutes of serious obedience training. What is serious obedience training? Go to an obedience school once a week and learn what obedience training is. Obedience schools are very, very cheap. There's lots of voluntary obedience schools right around the country. If you talk to the local dog authority in your area or the local council, they'll tell you where the nearest obedience school for dogs is. You don't need to go and pay. Do not put your dog into a place to pay to be trained. That's not going to help you. You need to train your dog yourself and do 5 minutes a day before you go to work. That will help a hell of a lot in keeping the dog. It gives it industry, things to do. Hmm. Think about a radio, of course, leaving a radio on. Better still, really? If you can leave the doggy pod on all day, fantastic. I mean, how good's that? Exactly. The dog with its own podcast, the doggy pod podcast.
So dogs actually would like to hear just that noise of the radio on in the background.
They can hear humans talking, and you know, they love that. If you're going to put music station on, believe it or not, it's classical music for your dog. Yep. Okay. They prefer Beethoven to the Rolling Stones. Hard to believe, but there you go.
How do you know that, Rob?
Because there's been research done on this, Stephen.
Right, okay.
And dogs gravitate to classical music. Yeah, more Schubert than the Beach Boys.
Okay. Yeah, you're talking old school music here.
Don't ask me. Chopin to the Beatles. I can't believe this. Yeah. What do you mean old school music? The Chopin's not that old.
I was talking about the Beach Boys. But
what?
Anyway.
Modern music. If you're going to for a music station, one of the ones that play more that sedate type of music, like, as I said, you know, Beach Boys and that sort of things, rather than they don't like rap music.
Yes, so no hip-hop for your dog.
Yeah, no, forget that. I mean, we all know why rap was invented. Don't.
You're not going to bag rap music, are you?
No, but we know what it was invented. So people that can't sing can still make the top 40.
I knew you would.
But, you know, that's the sort of thing
there
need to.
There goes our young audience.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah, we're out of here. We're going to listen to rap. No, you can listen to rap. It's all right.
Okay, so leave the radio on.
Leave the radio on. It's a great little tip.
But I guess you'll never know if your dog's
Because if your dog's lonely, it'll start howling and barking.
But you won't be there to know unless your neighbour leaves you a
note. Your neighbours will leave you a note, or worse still, your neighbours will ask council to leave you a note, and you'll be in a world of trouble because councils will fine you thousands of dollars a week if you don't do something about it.
Because you do hear about that a lot, that somebody's got a note from their neighbour, and, of course, you know, they don't realise they're at work.
It remains one of the biggest problems in our society. Barking dog affects literally hundreds of households, and it remains one of the biggest problems in our society today.
Okay, so where would you start? I've just gotten a note from both of my neighbours telling me that my dog just barks all day and it's driving everybody mad. Right. What can I do?
Send them a bottle of wine. Each neighbour, try and keep them pacified, thank them for their input, and think about if your dog's barking all the time, something like a citronella collar is ideal. I don't like electric collars that give dogs shock. Citronella collar, which just sprays a puff of citronella. Dogs don't like it. So every time it barks, it sprays a puff of citronella into its nasal.
How does it do that? Is it sort of battery operated.
Right. And the dog starts associating its bark with the negative thing, the citronella. And about 70% of dogs will stop. Industry is important. We've talked about that before. You know, things like gun dogs love to go and swim. So taking a dog out for an early morning swim can help. Mm. Certainly taking them for an early morning gallop to retrieve in a big dog park where you can throw a ball as far as you can and get that dog exhausted.
So that exercise at the start of the day is important.
But it's also the industry of, right, I'm going to get that. And use a command. Don't just throw it and shut yourself up. Use a command as you throw it. Say, fetch. So the dog goes off and fetches it. And the dog's saying, yes, I'm going to do that for you. It's industry. If your dog's a working dog, on weekends, go sheep herding with your dog. Those sort of things all help your dogs tremendously. Talk to the local dog authorities in your state. You know, there's Dogs Victoria, there's Dogs South Australia, Dogs Western Australia, Dogs New South Wales, Queensland, Northern Territory. Talk to them, Tasmania. They'll all help you find the right sort of fit for your dog's training ability and for the type of dog that you have so that your dog gets stimulation and industry. Give your dog industry.
Good advice. Okay, on to what is becoming one of our more controversial segments on the Doggy Pod, which is Dr. Rob's top five. Lots of people agree, lots of people don't. Anyway, this week We're talking about the top five kid-friendly breeds. Great family dogs. What are the top five breeds of dogs if you've got kids? At number five,
First, I'm going to tell you about Pythagoras.
Did he have a dog?
He had a theory that the square of any hippopotamus, or is it? No, the square of any giraffe equals the sum of the squares of the hippopotamus.
Everybody knows
that's
that.
That's it, yeah. So, and he said if you multiply 5, which is our number, by 3.2, you get 16. Yes, so.
How does that affect our top five?
It gives me a lot more breeds to talk about.
No, you can't have 16 breeds.
Oh,
we
break it up into little dogs, medium size, and big dogs. And
okay, well, let's break it down into, so we'll go with small, medium, and large.
And four for each. How's that? Thank you.
Okay, we'll
thank you, Stephen, producer.
Okay,
kind
so let's,
man.
Let's Lovely. Start with the let's
big
start
licks
with the big,
for you.
Let's start with the big dogs first.
The big dogs, okay. The big dogs. When you run with the big dogs, you can run with a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Okay, so at number four, it is.
Bernese Mountain Dog for the big dog. And they're a farm dog, but they just love people. They're often, to me, they're the dolphin of the dog world. They've got this constant smile on their face, just like a dolphin.
Okay, at number three, the most kid-friendly breed of dog.
Labradors, of course, they love kids. They love them so much, they just lick them to death.
At number two.
One that people don't think about, the Samoyed. The Samoyed is the only standard that inside their breed standard says friendly to all mankind, and they are beautiful dogs.
Okay, at number one, the large dog breed's most kid-friendly dog breed is?
Golden Retriever. One word of warning, they become very popular, so some people are breeding them indiscriminately. Talk to the breeder, meet the parents, always meet the parents of the dogs you're going to buy, and a Golden Retriever, beautiful dogs.
Golden Retriever, number one in the big dogs. In the mid-sized dogs, we're going to number four.
I put the Boxer in as a mid-sized dog. It's maybe on edging on the large size, but if you get a female one, they're more mid-sized, and they're the clowns of the dog world. They love people. They love kids.
Number three, mid-sized dog, kid-friendly.
Of course, the French Bulldog. Yeah, they're not a little dog. They're quite robust little, dog and stand up there. Yeah, got to put them in.
At number two.
The Kieshund. The Kieshund is
the
barge.
What?
Yeah, the Kieshund. It's a barge dog, Dutch barge dog, but very friendly, beautiful dogs.
And good with kids. Interesting.
Great with kids.
Okay, mid-sized dogs, the number one breed, kid-friendly breed, is?
Be proud, Charlie Brown. I've put the Beagle. Gorgeous dogs, Beagles. Often forgotten when people are thinking about what dog I'll get. Beautiful dogs.
Yes. Okay, now we go to our final group, the smaller dog breeds, the most kid-friendly dog breeds, at number four.
The Boston Terrier. Cute little dogs, black and white. They come from Boston, in America. That's where they started. And they look like they've got a tuxedo on all the time. You've got to see them. They're gorgeous.
Oh, kids would love that. At number three.
The Shetland Sheepdog. They're just beautiful. Come from the Isle of Shetland as shepherd dogs, but they are lovely, lovely dogs.
And at number two.
Oh, the pugs. You can't go anywhere without a pug, eh?
You've got a great little pug, Albert.
Albert, we call him the inspector, because whenever I'm doing the work, he's looking around, making sure I'm doing it right. He inspects all my work.
Go to Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, everybody, because Albert features in one of our videos there. It's very funny. Okay, now, at number one, what is the number one breed, family-friendly, kid-friendly breed in the smaller breeds?
Not the royal family. Be happy to be Cavalier, King Charles Spaniel. Very, very friendly breed. I've never known one that's been savage or would bite. They're just a very, very friendly dog. Love children, love the family. Just one of the nicest breeds you could ever meet.
Okay, there you go. There's quite a few to choose from there. 16, in fact, that Dr. Rob managed to fit in. Okay, we're just going to go to the answer to our quiz question, give or take a mil or two, which was roughly how many dogs are there in the world? Was it 200 million, 500 million, a billion, or 50 million? And as always, Dr. Rob has the answers, give or take a mil, of course.
Yeah, so it's estimated to be around 600 mil. So if you said 500, you're right. And they estimate that 400 of those are strays, 400 million.
400 million of the 600 million dogs in the world.
Yeah, that's the estimate that's made, not ours. That's not us. But, let's hope not. Let's hope less strays and more dogs with forever homes, please.
They would probably be, I'm guessing, in third world countries and the like, but still, that's a lot of...
That's a lot of... Well, and I'll tell you, a lot of veterinarians and veterinary nurses go overseas to third world countries to desex dogs for free. They spend their holidays doing that. Well done, you people that do that. That's a lot of time that you donate. And time that you know, well spent, I know, but boy, you don't give any time for yourself sometimes as veterinarians and as veterinary nurses. Very, very dedicated people, Stephen.
It's a very noble cause. All right, that's it for us on this episode of the Doggy Pod. Once again, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We love all the feedback we're getting. Please tell your friends. And as I said before, go to our Facebook page. There's always extra stuff there. And we'll see you for another episode next week.
And don't forget, if you don't own a dog, at least one, well, there's not necessarily something wrong with you, but there may be something wrong with your life.
Well, that's true. I agree. Sorry for all you cat people out there.
Own a dog, you'll understand.
We'll see you all next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.